spoke about before, is the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs, the anointing. Every Christian has the anointing. You might think, no, I don't have an anointing. No, it's not. I'm not talking about the anointing to do this, anointing to do that. You have the anointing. Every born-again Christian that is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ has the indwelled Holy Spirit and has the anointing. If you're born again, you have it. You may not use it. You may not even have it activated, but you have it. The anointing is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's designed to do His work in your life. But you're the key. We are the key. Each and every born-again Christian is the key. God has turned everything in heaven and earth to His Son. All power is given to Him. Jesus said that in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And it's only by us bringing glory privately and publicly to Jesus Christ and be exalted in our life that we activate the anointing from the Holy Spirit. Because remember I said before, the Holy Spirit is only going to do what the Father says to do, the will of the Father. He is our helper, our comforter, our advocate in Jesus' place because Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. So Holy Spirit is here for us. But He also brings with Him the anointing. You have it. Use it. Activate it with God's Word. Put it to the Holy Spirit and see what God opens up in your life. I'm here to tell you I'm living proof. Anybody that has sought it and seeks God, the anointing kicks in and your life will change. It will change for the better. I was about to think the other day, so Lord, You've been giving me stuff almost every week, sometimes a couple of times a week, but I don't feel like I really got any kind of revelation. Well, I got it this week. I got the anointing, and I'm not saying it because I'm high-minded or I'm proud or anything. I was born-again Christian. The indwelled Holy Spirit works the anointing in my life. Now, what's sad, there's too many Christians, and it's sad if there's even one, but there's too many Christians that have the anointing and they never or very little use it, if they activate it at all. Now, the anointing is kind of like having something and you kind of might know you have it, but you don't ever search it out to see if you have it. That sounds confusing, but it ain't. If you get in God's Word, Holy Spirit will help you with your anointing and it will be activated. Things will become crystal clear to you. You'll receive things, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, that you didn't know, that you thought you knew. I'm living proof of that too. And we've heard it before. You can read something in God's Word and it's there and you know it, but then you read it sometime and when the anointing activates, then it becomes revelation. And you know it not because your head knows, it's because your heart knows it. There's a key to that. Jesus said in Acts chapter 38, Acts 10, verse 38, that He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. The anointed one is speaking about the work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life, including himself, the man Jesus Christ. Okay, as I said before, we got to establish, we got to make known, every Christian has got to know that they have the anointing. It's not a guess, it's not a maybe, and I'm going to prove it to you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, Beth, please. Now this is a kind of a short verse, but it's deep. And the King James says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." Let me read that in the Amplified. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have been set apart, specially gifted and prepared by the Holy Spirit, and all of you know the truth, because He teaches us." He, the Holy Spirit. "He illuminates our minds and guards us from error." What does it mean to illuminate? You put right, you light up, you put light on it. Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is to eliminate the anointing in our life. Now, in the King James Version, it says you have an unction. I looked up unction in the Strong's Concordance. That one particular word in this verse is the Greek word chrisma. It's CHRISMA. And it means the special endowment. The word endowment means a quality or ability possessed or inherited by someone. Not something, someone. You can't be endowed by the chair over there. So now we have a clear definition. Our unction is a special quality or ability that we possess. We own it. We have it. Given to us by someone. He, Holy Spirit. And He works it in our life. Now let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 16. And 17. And Paul's writing here, and he says, "The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." So with those verses right there, we see we have it, and we possess it, and we get it from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So therefore, it's settled by God's word. We all have the anointing. Some people want just enough of God to make them feel good, and then they want to sit down. That's not how God wants our life to be. Young folks, older folks, in the middle folks, whatever age you are, if you're born again, you have the anointing. I have it. Sister Sandy has it. Brother Ty has it. Brother Johnny has it. Everybody has it. If you're born again. If you're not born again, the only special endowment, if you want to call it special at all, is you're living by the strings of this world that's attached to you. And we know who the world, the cosmos part of this world, who has power over it, and that's Satan. That's the only two ways you can go. So if you're born again, you have the anointing. You don't have to do anything except be born again to possess it. Now, to activate it, it's a little bit different. But a lot of people, if they know they got it, they never pursue to activate it. That's, looking back on my own life, I don't really understand why I did, except there was something inside me, and I know now it was He, the Holy Spirit, was drawing me. Something inside of me was saying, you know, okay, you're born again, you come to church, you see all your brothers and sisters, you testify, you sing, and that's not enough. The Holy Spirit was trying to get me to work the anointing or get it activated where He could work it in my life. Now, how do we do that? And Jesus told us that I am giving you the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm paraphrase. He's a permanent resident. If you have the Holy Spirit indwelled in you, He's there. If you're born again, He's there. And we read before, He's very sensitive. And you have to pay attention to Him. Then that sensitive part on your anointing means He's going to try to help you. He's going to help you with your anointing. He's going to help you activate it, use it. Because when you do, your life as a born-again Christian is going to change for the better, and you'll never be the old self again. Let's see, let's go to 1 Corinthians verse 6, chapter 6 and verse 19. I got a little bit ahead of myself, but the way it works out, it'll all work. Y'all know that God's word doesn't contradict itself, correct? Amen. Thank God for that. Now, verse 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" That's, even with the ye's, that's pretty straightforward. If you're born again, Jesus paid a price. You accepted that price. He paid it. You don't have to pay it anymore. But you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and God expects certain things from His children. You have become joint heirs with Christ. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the anointing. You think God just wants to, okay, you're good, go on. We're not cows, ladies and gentlemen. We're made wonderfully. I told the teenagers, I got to talk to them last week, and I'll tell you what, time flies back there faster than it does up here. But I wasn't even half finished, people knocking on the door wanting a kid. I want to talk to them some more. They probably didn't hear it all that much because I'm probably boring. But I was telling them, we are made so wonderfully. It's amazing to me. I got a revelation about 2 weeks ago. It just, you know, yeah, we all look different. We speak different. We act different. We talk different. We may be talking the same language, but we're all different. That's the first thing that pops out in your mind. I mean, even nature can see that. But on the inside, I'm fixing to tell you some things that God revealed to me that I didn't really think about. And when you start thinking about it, you'll see what the Bible means. It says we are wondrously made because we're made in His likeness and image. Now, it's settled by God's word, all Christians have the anointing, but not all Christians have the anointing activated, working in their life. So the key is, you know you have it. You possess it. You've been given it. How do you benefit from it? The job of the anointing, coming from the Holy Anointed One, Holy Spirit, is to eliminate and bring to light in your life God's messaging. In other words, He's going to be the one that, I mean, I'm not going to try to take away from His reverence or His power or His authority, but He's going to be the Snapchat. He's going to be the messenger. He's going to be all these things we see in social media. Holy Spirit is between us and God. You have the anointing. The Holy Spirit's job is to help you activate that anointing where you can receive divine messaging. What is divine messaging from God? Revelation. You want to hear and feel and see and know revelation in your life? Activate your anointing. How do you do that? With God's Word. Just like Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's how you activate your anointing. When you draw nigh to God, everybody still hear me? So, we see that we have divine messaging when we activate our anointing. We activate our anointing by getting closer to God. By His Word, by prayer, by fasting, by everything that we have available to us today. And I'm going to tell you something. The human race today has more than it's ever had in known history as far as technology. I mean, I remember when they were talking about cell phones, you'd be able to carry a computer in your hand. It'd be smaller than a pack of cigarettes. And I'm like, man, that's weird. You know, I see this on TV. But we're doing it. No born-again Christian has no excuse whatsoever. Well, I don't like to read. Well, you can at least click on something and it'll read it to you. God will work through that. Maybe not as quick. I don't know. To me, it's been about the same. I would rather read myself to myself as I had to hear it reading, but I will hear it read if I can't read it myself. No Christian has no excuse whatsoever, in my opinion, and according to God's Word, in my opinion, not to activate their anointing. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your stature in life, your position in life, your health, or whatever, because we have every means available to activate the anointing and get in God's Word. Now, once you get your divine messaging from God through the Holy Spirit and He starts working the anointing, you'll see that your life is going to start operating because you're going to be operating obediently. And we've been hearing some really good stuff about the Word, right? When you become obedient to the Word and you draw closer to God, your life is going to become more fruitful. And it's going to become, as it says in Joshua 1, verse 9, more successful. You know, Brother Scotty preaches on that. If you read that verse, God didn't say you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this. He said, if you will meditate on the words, you will make your way successful. And all these other things will come along with it also. Now, I believe the Lord gave me what I got to say today. I don't believe it's for everybody in here, because I believe most everybody in here probably knows it, but like we know, we go out in everywhere. But if you don't know you have it and you don't know how to use it, you will not benefit from it. If you do not activate the anointing in your life, and I'm here to tell you, the anointing is not just for the fivefold ministry. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul said that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and we are ambassadors for Christ. What does that mean? We have a special gift, endowment, to take God's word and the gift of God, of Jesus Christ and the shed blood, and spread it throughout the whole world. Now, does that mean you get on your bicycle, on your motorcycle, on your car, on your jet airplane, whatever you got, and go all the way across the world? If God puts that on your heart, go for it. But you don't have to, because we got plenty of mission fields right here. But he at least expects you to know enough about the word. I'm not going to call any names, but when we first started the church here, not long after, there was a woman that went to church here, and I remember her testifying that she's not here now, but she went to church here for a little while, and her life just turned completely around because she testified about it. And it's not because it was just this church, but it's because she turned to God, and the anointing flows in this church. You know why it flows in this church? Because it's activated. Our pastor has the anointing working in his life. Our Sunday school teacher has the anointing working in their life. And from what I hear about the testimonies and what I see of the ones that's here today, you have the anointing working in your life. But this one particular woman said something that really, really stuck out to me. She said, I had a person come and ask me, she says, you're different. You look different, you talk different, and you act different. What's going on? He said, well, I got born again. I started going to this church. And I remember her saying, and that she said, the lady said, well, whatever you got, I want it. And she said, all I knew to tell them is what I'd been hearing here. That was better than nothing. Because it's a shame a born-again Christian cannot tell a lost person how to receive what they have. And I'll say it again. It is a shame that a born-again Christian of any age cannot tell a lost person how to receive what they have of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, you get your, if you have your anointing and you don't know how to use it, you won't benefit from it. I'm going to do a good bit of reading here. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. And I know I do not have a melodious, captivating voice. Trust me, I know. I don't even like listening to the recordings of me. I'm a hick boy from North Georgia. I know how to speak perfect English, but I do not. But I'm just me. That's all I am. And I love God, and I want to obey Him. We're going to start reading. Excuse me. Chapter 25, verse 14. Now this is another thing. I have heard and heard and heard and heard and heard this parable, but I got a revelation about it. This parable, I'm going to read it all, because I know we've all heard it before, but I want to let it sink in. This parable is because somebody's not activating or has activated their anointing from the Holy Spirit. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one of them he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, for lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, that is a parable. It started out, Jesus saying, and the kingdom of heaven is as. God gives us the gift of eternal life and salvation through the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit because he can't be here with us anymore. He's got to go be with the Father. He's got to let the Holy Spirit work because the Holy Spirit's the only one that can do what has to be done here on earth now. The Holy Spirit brings with him the indwelling and the anointing. Now, if you use this parable and compare it to the anointing, what I just spoke that God's given us through the Holy Spirit, what do you think God's going to say when we get to heaven and you have not activated or used or benefited your anointing for at least his kingdom? Now, he wants you to do it first for his kingdom, and what benefits from it is like Brother Scotty says, you know, a water hose gets the water in it, even though it's going to another source. When you benefit and activate your anointing, you're going to get benefit from it, even though you're doing it for the benefit of God's kingdom here on earth. God didn't give you the gift of salvation, no matter what your age is or what anything else about us, to set and waste the anointing. That is not his plan. Now, like I said before, the way the anointing works, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit's indwelled on you. He enters your human spirit. Now, he doesn't do it forcefully. The Holy Spirit will not possess anybody. You invite him. When you invite him, you open the door, and he enters your spirit. Now, I said before, we're wondrously made. Do you know why God gave us a spirit? Where he can communicate with us through his spirit. That right there to me is awesome. Boy, I was laying in bed thinking about it last night. I went to bed about 11 o'clock and I got done studying. I was just, oh, Lord, glory. I'm starting to get some of that joy again. Just on that. He created me to where I can communicate with him. Even though all of this junk has happened in this cursed world, I still have a way and a means to communicate with my God and my Creator. Now, you now have the capacity to communicate with God. Jesus died on the cross and brought the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even through the curse that it was in your body. And in this world, you now still have the capacity to communicate with God, divine messaging through the anointing and Holy Spirit. Now your human spirit is anointed with the indwelled Holy Spirit. That is what the indwelling is the anointing. Now, won't you stay with me here, because I don't want to get confusing. Your spirit is being entered into by the Holy Spirit. Our spirit communicates to our soul. What is our soul? Our mind, will, and emotions. You ever stop to think what we use that mainly for? To communicate outwardly. Your spirit communicates to your soul. Your soul communicates to your body. Your body communicates outwardly. You think about it, it might not be the only way it works, but it works that way. Now, when our spirit is indwelled with the Holy Spirit, we have an anointing. And one of the ways, if you think about it, and the reason it works this way, and we're so wondrously made, we now have the Holy Spirit communicating through our spirit to our soul all the things of God. Now our soul is communicating all the things of God to our flesh, our body. All we have to do is keep that channel open. And what does the Bible say about walking in the Spirit? And you'll do what? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how all of that works. And all you have to do is activate your anointing, stay close to God. It's not that hard. I mean, to me, even if we come to church, and it makes it even easier, this is like our, you know, I don't mean to downgrade it, this is like our Glory Hallelujah pep rally. And we all have this anointing here, this special messaging through God, from God, and we're together. The Holy Spirit is here in each and every one of us. The Bible says one puts, what is it, Brother Scotty, 1,000 to flight, 2,000, 10,000? Looky here. If you're born again, you have all of this working inside of you. There ain't no way in the world it's come from no monkey. God created the monkey for what the monkey does. God created man in his own likeness and image. And he created us so we could communicate to him. And now he's created this situation and furnished us a way that we could communicate supernaturally through our spirit, through the anointing. And it is awesome. And I mean, you don't have to be a preacher to work the anointing in your life. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a prophet. All you have to do is be born again and draw close to God. And he's got everything all set up, ready and waiting on you. What are we waiting for? Personally, I don't know, because, you know, I can't point the finger at anybody. I've wasted years. And like I said, I told God, I said, Lord, if you give me those years back, I'll be here. So I may make mistakes, but I'll be here. And that just, I mean, all I'm going to do is I just want to praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, our God is such a good God. I mean, I think of the things that could happen to me and didn't, because you know why? Because of grace. Even though I was not born again, thinking I was, and living like hell on earth, like there was no tomorrow. And if there was going to be a tomorrow, I was going to be doing the same thing. God gave me grace. You know what grace is? It's unmerited favor. It is divine favor from God. It means we didn't do nothing to get it, but he's given it because he loves us. Now, if he'll give it to us before we're born again, what do you think he's going to do when we are born again? I mean, whew. And then you put on top of that up the anointing he gives Brother Scott. You know, we can prosper in our life. We can prosper in our work. We can prosper at home. We can prosper financially. We can prosper through our anointing in the Word of God. It just keeps on and on. The only limit is what you put on it, what we put on it. If you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. You want God to work in your life? Activate your anointing. You got a need in your life? Yes, you can pray and ask God. I ain't saying God's just going to leave you. He said he'll never forsake us. But you want the things in your life that you see others have. You want more in your life from God. He's got a wide open highway for you. All we have to do is activate our anointing. Now, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Whew. Man! Excuse me, that makes it loud. I can't help his voice gets on me. Now, I was thinking about last night. I used to sit in church and see people have the shouting fits. I thought, and we had one guy that would walk the back of the benches, And I also, you know, you hear people talking to Ken. I thought, man, he's in the flesh. Don't nobody walk on the back of the church benches. But anyway, I was a kid. But praise God, them people were standing up and giving God glory. I know now why they're doing it. They was working and activating and living in the anointing. And they had got so much of God, their body can't contain it. Their body, their souls turn their body. Praise the Lord because of what the Spirit's told me. Now, what did I say? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. You want to know what happens whenever you get the anointing besides just feeling good? I'm fixing to read it to you. This is my other revelation. I've read this before a bunch of times. But it means something now, really good. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the Spirit things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Don't know what to say. When you get the anointing, it's activated in your life and turned up. You want to turn it up. What do you do when you hear music you like? You turn it up. Praise God, you get it turned up and it's awesome. And what did it say there in verse 9? It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered to the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. When you get the anointing activated and turned up, you're going to see things your eyes can't see. You're going to hear things your ears can't hear. You're going to think things you never thought you'd think of before. You're going to, oh, glory, hallelujah, you're going to have it. And then one of our songs says, you know, the joy that I have, the world can't take it away because the world didn't give it. When you get your anointing activated and turned up, the world can't take it away. You're going to see things that you didn't see before. You're going to know things that you didn't know before. You're going to hear things you didn't hear before. So what happens is there's a supernatural miracle going on inside you. And that's exactly what it is. Because you're leaving the physical. When revelation happens to you, you're leaving what you physically see. And you're seeing with your spirit. And then God and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you're hearing things in your spirit. When we say we hear it in our spirit, you don't hear the audible voice of God, you hear it in your spirit. This is why you have the anointing. If you didn't have the anointing, you could not hear the things of the Spirit. And you're leaving your physical, and you're going into the supernatural and the spiritual realm. That's a miracle that God placed in us when we were born. When we're born again, it gets put in there. And then when we get into the Word and get it activated, praise God, it's just awesome. I don't know how to say it. It's just awesome. But you get to do all these things. Your physical body and your physical brain and your soul and your emotions can't do this. Your spirit can do it when you're born again and you have the anointing activated. Your Holy Spirit communicates to your spirit. Spirit communicates to your soul communicates to your body, and your bodily outwardly praises God. And then on the inside, your spirit hears things from Holy Spirit that your body and your soul can't do nothing with except speak it. That's all. Because you're out of the physical, you're in the spiritual. Whew. Hallelujah. It's hot in here. Okay, let me move on here. Because the anointing, there must be the ability to see beyond the physical senses so that He, Holy Spirit, can reveal them to us from God. He, Holy Spirit, searches the things of God. Now, it's not just, oh, it's a hit or miss thing. Holy Spirit is searching the things of God. Let me read that in the Amplified. Verse 10 said, "So, for God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently." I learned that word from my pastor. I knew what it meant. But he diligently in our study and of the word and stuff means something. Diligently means he does not slack off. He's going after it. "For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels and things far beyond human understanding." Man, when I read that last night, boom! It's not hit or miss. The Holy Spirit is saying, "Father, let's reveal something else to him." He's searching. He's looking. God wants to unveil, wants to reveal so much deep things to each and every one of us, but we are the key. If you do not activate the anointing and turn it up in your life, you won't know it. God's got it there. In verse 11, I'm going to read in Amplified, it says, "For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So you can't get this stuff any other place. Buddha can't tell you. Allah cannot tell you. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying the truth. Nobody but Jehovah, El Shaddai, Adonai, Jireh. That's just a few of the names. I know he's got a bunch of them in the Bible. Each one of them means something different. But the Lord God is the only one that can give these things to us through his Holy Spirit. You know, it's just amazing. Whew. Hallelujah. And verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we may know and understand the wonderful and things freely given to us by God." Woo! Glory! That just does something to me. And it's not that I want to be anything except pleasing to the Father. But if you're pleasing to the Father, and what did I say a while ago? And when you're obedient, become fruitful. Now, when this stuff starts coming out of me, you know, I don't just speak it here. I speak it everywhere. Because it's like, no, I'm a kid with a new toy here. You better look out. And I don't know how to shut my mouth most of the time. Even in the natural, I get in trouble like that. Praise God, I don't mind doing it for the Lord. Anyhow, now, verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And this is what I got a little ahead of myself. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now that was verses 13 through 16. Let me read that in the Amplified. "We also speak of the things, not in words taught or supplied by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, for those being guided by the Holy Spirit. But the natural, unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, absurd, and illogical to him, and he is incapable of understanding them, because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated, and he is qualified to judge spiritual matters. But the spiritual man, the spiritually mature Christian, judges all things, questions, examines, and applies what the Holy Spirit reveals. Yet he is judged, yet is himself judged by no one. The unbeliever cannot judge and understand the believer's spiritual nature. For who has known the mind and purposes of the Lord so as to instruct him? talking about God. But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and purposes. All of this is foolishness. Anybody in the world is not born again. But to the born again, if it's foolishness to you, all I know to tell you is you better get in God's Word and get some things straightened out. Because it's never been foolishness to me about God's Word. But praise God, I can spiritually discern. Because I have the indwelled Holy Spirit and the anointing of God through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit searches God and finds all these things. And I see right here that nobody can instruct God because he is ultimate. But we have the mind of Christ. Think about that for a minute. You want to use it? Do you want to know it? You have it. What you do with it is up to each and every one of us. Now, yeah, it makes me want to shout, makes me feel good. But it's not the feel-good part that I like so much, that I love so much. You know what I love about it? I got something in here. Man, I mean, it's about to come out. And what it is my relationship with the Lord is growing. And it's not because I'm anything. I'm just Monty Hall. That's the name. And I got this body I live in this world. But God has given me every good thing that I need to have a relationship with him as close to what he can provide for me in a cursed world. As he committed and created at the beginning of this world. That's as close as we can get right now until we go to be with him. Now, as good, and I hate to say good, as awesome as I feel on the inside, I'm going to feel even more when I get to see him because it's going to be better. We ain't going to have this cursed world to get in the way. But now, the opposite is true. You can lose your anointing. I don't have but a couple of minutes. I've been talking about how good it is. How? Do the opposite of everything we've just been hearing about. Stay out of church. Stay out of the Word. You may be born again, but you can lose it. That's what we call backsliding. If only people realized what they were giving up. If only Christians realized. I don't know what to say about anybody that has had that experience to them, except I'm going to pray for them. And I sent up a prayer last night for anybody that did. Because we read in the parable what God did for the ones that he gave, and they became fruitful with it. He rewarded them. What did he do with the ones that did not become fruitful? The one. He got no reward. He was a slothful, unfaithful servant. I don't want to be that way. I want to use what God has given me as much as I can. Now, I understand now what Brother Scotty means whenever he says, you know, when you prosper financially, which we are, God is good to us. I don't even care about that. That's a side note. Praise God, I want to go toward this mark. This thing in my anointing, my spirit God's given me, I want to communicate with the Father some more. I want to make this relationship even better. Now, that's my goal. So, you know, April, if I wake up one night yelling, you know why? Because sometimes I get thinking about this and I just, whew, it's all I can do. I'm not going to contain it too much. Because I'm not going to quench Holy Spirit. But, you know, I don't want to hurt your ears, but glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is awesome. I don't know what to say. It's awesome. Y'all need it. If you ain't got it, get it. If you got it, turn it up. Whew. That's all I got this